यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यामुनतीरवनचारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय जय गुरुदेव 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 जय गुरुदेव नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल गौर हरि बोल శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవృందకి నితాయ గౌర ప్రేమానందే. సో వెల్కమ్ వన్స్ అగైన్ డియర్ వైష్ణవస్ టు దిస్ ఫస్ట్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద ప్రెజెంటేషన్ ఆన్ బియాండ్ భోగ అండ్ త్యాగ. హరే కృష్ణ మహారాజ్, వెల్కమ్, థ్యాంక్ యూ. Thank you so much to all the wonderful devotees who are assembled here, to all the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, to the devotees who are managing so expertly the Govardhan Retreat Center, Puri Jan Prabhu, Jagat Tarini Mataji, and many other devotees who are helping with the management of Govardhan Retreat Center. Thank you to all the devotees who have also organized this Sharanagati retreat. His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, Krishna Murari Prabhu, Bhanu Nandini Mataji, all the wonderful devotees who are involved. And a big thanks to all of you. Yesterday I said, between the speaker and the audience, somebody has turned out more important. And who is that?
Audience.
That is proved. So all of you are more important. But Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, he always said that a Vaishnav who takes the platform, or a Vaishnav who composes a book, both of them expect that the audience should be sahriday. Sahriday is like-minded. And a like-minded audience is the best gift that a speaker can get. So I'm so thankful that today I have an audience of Vaishnavas, like-minded audience. And I'm very grateful to be in the presence of each and every one of you. Thank you so much for kindly being here. It is Shishta Parampara, tradition established by the previous great acharyas, that we should begin with Mangalacharan, auspicious invocations. Most of us know these verses. You can kindly sing along with me. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kadamayam Dadate Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namah E Krishna Garuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki Nantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki Nitai Gaur Premanande. So yesterday I said that I'll show a verse on mobile phones. So I'll begin with that verse, dear devotees. It's important to make an announcement before we begin. We have a modern day Asura with us. This is a newly composed verse. Please repeat after me. The meter of the verse is Vasanta Tilakam. కాళ సమస్త భువనం గ్రసతే ప్రచండో యః కాళమప్యహః నాశయతి ప్రకామం సంపర్కయంత్రధనుజం తమహో భవంతః కుర్వంతు శాంతముత నిష్క్రియతాం నయంతు. సో కాల సమస్త భువనం గ్రసతే ప్రచండో. దెరివర్ ఈస్ ద టైమ్ ఫ్యాక్టర్ డివౌర్స్ ఆల్ ద వర్ల్డ్స్. ఎవ్రీబడి అగ్రీస్?
ఎస్.
బట్ ఫార్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ ఫియర్స్. బట్ యహ కాలమపి అహహ అలాస్, దెర్ ఈస్ అన్ ఎంటిటీ హౌ ఎవర్ హూ డిస్ట్రాయిస్ ఈవన్ టైమ్. An entity which can eat up your time. Time eats up everything, and there is something which can eat up time. And what is that? Samparka yantra danujam. This is the demon that carries the name mobile phone. Aho bhavantaha, all of you, kurvantu shantam, kindly silence this demon. Uta nishkriyatam nayantu, or switch it off. So dear devotees, this is an important announcement made in Sanskrit, all right? But so sometimes we think we have silenced it, and then in the middle of the lecture it starts ringing again. So, but it's very important that a good presentation, a good talk should not be disturbed by any such external disturbances. And of course, retreats like this remind me of a traditional Indian wedding. How many of you have been to a traditional Indian wedding? Yeah, many of you have been. In my childhood, I attended many Indian weddings. And believe it or not, it was a completely unique experience. All those who have attended an Indian wedding in childhood, you know all the excitement that surrounds such a wedding. And in an Indian wedding, different people come with different motivations. So here is a verse which specifies how different people come with different motivations to an Indian wedding. And there's a reason why I'm specifying this verse. I'll explain in a short while, but kindly repeat after me. Kanya varayate rupam. మాతా విత్తం పితాశ్రుతం బాంధవః కులమిచ్ఛంతి మిష్టాన్నమితరే జనా. సో ఇన్ అ టిపికల్ ఇండియన్ వెడ్డింగ్, కన్యా, ద గర్ల్ హూ ఇస్ గెటింగ్ మ్యారీడ్, వరయతే రూపం, షీ హ్యాస్ వన్ మెయిన్ డిజైర్. హర్ మెయిన్ డిజైర్ ఈజ్ మై హస్బెండ్ షుడ్ బి గుడ్ లుకింగ్. దేర్ షీ ఇస్. She is young, she doesn't know much about life. She has one main desire: he should be good looking, faithful to me. Mata vittam, but her mother is more experienced and intelligent. She knows the world runs on something. What does the world run on? Money. So she thinks, let my son-in-law earn nicely, because how long will love sustain, you know? Finally, a marriage is sustained by love or money? All of you can answer that query, okay? Pita Shrutam. And the father of the girl expects that the boy should be very learned, so that my name in the society should be, you know, preserved. Bandhavaha Kulam Ichchanti. The other relatives, they expect that the girl should get married in a good family, so that we can boast that our relatives got married in a good family. And Mishtannam, rest of the people, come simply for the sweets. Itare jana. So the bride desires a handsome man. Her mother desires a financially stable man. Her father desires a highly educated man. The immediate relatives desire a man belonging to a good family. Whereas all others, they just desire to have good sweets in the wedding feast. So similarly, some of you might, different people come to a retreat with different motivations. That's why I quoted this verse. Some people came with the best desire to listen to His Holiness Shachinandan Maharaj or Gaurang Darshan Prabhu. Some people came with the desire also to listen to the wonderful kirtans. I came for the prasadam. I'll be honest, on the first day, I came for the prasadam. So that is my motivation for coming here. And I'm very happy to be here. It's a wonderful event. And before I decided that I'll speak on this topic, there was a big question in my mind. Why speak about bhog and tyag when it is so much easier to speak on tyag? You know, you can find thousands of verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam about tyag. And there is no dearth of verses, and it will be easier for me, believe it or not, to speak on that topic rather than taking bhog. Because, please tell me, the Srimad Bhagavatam is replete with verses on bhoga or on tyaga? See, all of you agree. So, it's basically a sort of risk to speak on bhoga, because bhoga is often looked down upon and bhoga is not encouraged often in the society, especially the society of Vaishnavas. And therefore, with this doubt, I approached my Gurujanas and asked them a question that I said to them, it is easier for me to speak from something that Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada has given than to speak on such a topic. Because I find it most comfortable to discuss the previous acharyas rather than to take up such a topic. So the answer that I got from my Gurujanas was that it always depends on the speaker who is speaking. A devoted speaker can turn even a mundane topic into something divine. And somebody who doesn't understand Shastra properly or the Siddhanta properly can even turn a divine topic into something mundane and profane. So it is very important to understand that it is not the topic that is presented, but it is how a particular topic is presented. And the instruction that I got is that when bhoga is presented, and it is also presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many incidents of bhoga described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are going to take up those incidents from the Srimad Bhagavatam. A few of them from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and a few from the history of Bharatvarsha, this particular country. But Srimad Bhagavatam, many of us know, why not speak something about moksha? It is best to speak about moksha when we are speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam. How many of you agree? Yes, it would be easiest to speak about moksha. But to speak about dharma, artha or kama is, and that too from the Srimad Bhagavatam, is not easy. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is not meant for dharma, artha, kama. Yeah, I am aware. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for what? Moksha. So then why select such a topic and speak about dharma, artha and kama? Dear devotees, factually speaking, the Srimad Bhagavatam is also not meant for moksha. Truly speaking, the Srimad Bhagavatam is not about moksha. In the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Vyasadeva says, please repeat after me, dharma projita kaitavotra parama. The highest dharma, which is projita kaitava. Projita kaitava means which is devoid of any cheating propensity, is presented here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The earliest available Sanskrit commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sridhar Swami, he takes up the term projita. Projita means everything else is discarded. All cheating tendency is discarded. in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Sridhar Swami says something, please repeat after me. Prashabdena Mokshabhisandir Apinirastaha. He says Prashabdena, by the prefix Pra, in the term Praujjhita, Praujjhita, even the desire for moksha is rejected in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I am making a slightly bold statement, but it is supported by Shastra and previous Acharyas. The Srimad Bhagavatam is not about liberation or going to any particular abode. The Srimad Bhagavatam is not meant for, also not meant for going back home, back to Godhead. In the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam has rejected even the fourth goal of life. And what is the fourth goal of life, dear devotees? Moksha. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is neither about dharma, nor about artha, nor about kama, and especially not about moksha. The Bhagavad Gita ends with moksha. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami. I promise you, Arjun, I will liberate you. Mashucha, don't worry. Where the Bhagavad Gita ends, the Srimad Bhagavatam begins, and the first thing Srimad Bhagavatam does is it rejects what was promised at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. That is moksha. But topics of moksha will certainly be described in the Bhagavatam, no doubt. And similarly, topics of dharma, artha and kaam will also be described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a very important reason why topics of dharma, artha and kaam, as they are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, are also very important. And today is the first day, dear devotees, so those of you who hear this particular part, please make sure you hear all the way till the end. Otherwise, you may end up with an incorrect impression of life. See, there is a problem with describing bhoga. Bhoga has a complaint. Bhoga complains that the devotees don't give me justice when they describe me. The devotees always describe me in a negative way. Rarely does a devotee describe me in a positive manner. Although bhoga is such an important part of the life of each and everyone. And I can very well give a lecture on tyag for 7 days, believe it or not. It's very easy to give a lecture on tyag, an entire seminar on tyag. But after I go back to my room, I know when I have to take a bath, I'll switch on the geyser and my mind will tell me, you rascal, you just spoke on 7 days about renunciation and the first thing you're looking for is pleasure. So I am perfectly aware of this. So I cannot speak a lie to myself. Bhoga is a very important part. Dharma, artha and kama are very important parts of the lives of each and everyone. And the Srimad Bhagavatam also describes it for one particular reason. The Srimad Bhagavatam itself specifies that these topics are like a very sweet medicine. And this sweet medicine will gradually help us come out. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavan says this to Uddhava. Please repeat after me. Karma mokshaya karmani vidhate yagadam yatha. This is from the 11th canto, I'm sorry for the reference. He says, karma mokshaya karmani. Vedic injunctions indirectly lead one to the path of ultimate liberation by first prescribing fruitive religious activities. Just as a father promises his child candy so that the child will take his medicine. So it's important to have a holistic understanding of dharma, artha and kaam. This acts as a medicine. Because those who rush in immediately for moksha, Shastra criticizes them severely. And how Shastra criticizes them, we will see today. It's important to take a medicine. Even in the Upadeshamritam, as Maharaj was discussing this afternoon, Sri Rupa Goswami says, Kintu adarad anudinam khalu saiva jushta. A person who is affected by jaundice should take sweet sugar candy as medicine. But that medicine should be taken adarat anudinam, respectfully, gradually, day after day. It's not that I'll drink the entire bottle of medicine in a single day. Because you know, ati sarvatra varjayet, an overdose of anything, including medicine, will finally harm the person who wants to get cured. Vedic culture is not about immediate attainment of any goal of life, including moksha, believe it or not. This is a preparation for a lifetime, and therefore a sadhaka, a practitioner, has to go through various stages of life. And therefore, the nature of the Bhagavatam is that it gives medicine to all of us. But dear devotees, medicines also are given in three different ways. And these three different ways make a big difference in the way in which the medicines are received. There's a very wonderful commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He appeared in the around 12th or 13th century. His name was Sri Vopadev. His commentary became so famous that people started saying Vopadev wrote the Bhagavatam. Srila Jiva Goswami takes his name with great respect in the Sandarbhas. And in his commentary, he speaks something about Srimad Bhagavatam which is very important. Please repeat after me. Veda Puranam Kavyam Cha Prabhur Mitram Priyeva Cha Bodhayanti Ti Prahus Trivad Bhagavatam Punaha. Veda Puranam Kavyam Cha Prabhur Mitram Priya Eva Cha. Veda. The Vedas speak like a strict master. In the Vedas, they will say, please repeat after me, Satyam Vada, Dharmam Chara. Speak the truth. Walk on the path of Dharma. Else. You don't want to see what happens in the else. This is Veda. Puranam, the Puranas speak like a friend. Please, will you walk on the path of Dharma? And Kavya, poetry, speaks like Priya, like a wife. My dear one, won't you walk on the path of Dharma? So dear devotees, from whose hand would you like to have a medicine? Same effect, alright? The effect is the same. Now, do you want to have the medicine from the hands of a Prabhu? Or from the hands of a friend, or from the hands of a beloved? From whose hands would you like to have the medicine? Beloved, of course. Trivad Bhagavatam Punaha. The Srimad Bhagavatam speaks to us like all three. The Srimad Bhagavatam will speak like all three. And then there will be sections about material enjoyment in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And these sections will speak like Priya. Priya means like a wonderful spouse. And irrespective of which ashram you are in, you will find these narrations pleasing to the heart. But it is medicine. There is a reason why these narrations are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because they are medicine for the jiva. And unless a jiva accepts medicine as given by Sri Vyasadeva, they will end up inventing a medicine of their own, and most likely they will not get cured. So it's very important to have proper medicine. Srila Prabhupada also emphasizes that the material world, because we are beginning with bhoga, we are beginning on the side of bhoga. Srila Prabhupada emphasizes in his purports that the primary reason for the creation of material world is fulfillment of bhoga or material enjoyment. In a particular purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Bhagavad Gita 7.21. He says, some may ask why the all-powerful God gives facilities to the living entities for enjoying this material world. And so lets them fall into the trap of illusory energy. The answer is that if the Supreme Lord as Super Soul does not give such facilities, then there is no meaning to independence. Hence proved in the words of Srila Prabhupada, the primary purpose of the world, please tell me, is bhoga or tyag? Bhoga. That's it. End of the seminar. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So it's very important to understand this is the primary purpose. And it is not only Srila Prabhupada who says this. The previous acharyas also mention this. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan in his Aishwarya Kadambini specifies the purpose of creation. And he narrates the situation when there was destruction. The universe had been destroyed. All the universes had been pulled into the body of Mahavishnu, Karanadokashai Vishnu. And it was the time of destruction. And Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan says in Aishwarya Kadambini, the verse is in the meter, Vasanta Tilakam. Please repeat after me. Sankarshano Hariratha Pralayavasane. Jivanu Diksha Karuna Kshubhitan Samantan. Praikshishta Sva Prakriti Manda Gadasta Tastu. Pradur Babu Vururu Boga Chayanda Dhana. Sankarshano Harir Atha Pralaya Avasane. When the time for destruction was over and it was time for again a new creation. So destruction time is over and it is time for again creating. Sri Sankarshan is Karanadakashai Vishnu mercifully glanced upon all the jivas who were agitated. And dear devotees, please tell me, why were the jivas agitated within his body? They were not getting tyag or they were not getting bhog? Bhog. So the reason why the living entities in his body were agitated is because the jivas wanted bhoga. And they were resting for a long time. Then he glanced upon his prakriti, material nature, and various universes manifested. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan says in the last line, bhoga chayan. Each of the universe was replete with choicest varieties of bhoga. And what is bhoga, dear devotees? Sense gratification. This is the reason why Bhagavan manifested the universe. The primary reason for manifestation of the material universe is not tyag, is essentially bhoga. And it is because of this bhoga that this particular universe has been manifested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even the Upanishads say that we all live for ananda, joy. Each and every living entity in this universe survives only because they want to attain something. And that thing is known as ananda. What is it known as? Ananda. It's a different thing. Some people want to take ananda in material enjoyment and some people want to take ananda in material rejection. Nonetheless, the central principle is one. And what is that? Ananda. Nobody here wishes to be miserable. Please raise your hands. How many of us wish to live a miserable life and then die? Nobody. Of course, there are people who voluntarily end their lives. Isn't it? There are some people who voluntarily choose to die. But there is a reason why they do that. The reason why they do that is because the pain of living becomes greater than the pain of death. And when a living entity is presented with two pains, the living entity always selects the greater pain or the lesser pain? Lesser pain. isn't it? And for this reason, we all live for ananda, joy. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is specified. Please repeat after me. Etasyaiva anandasya anyani bhutani matram upajivanti. Etasyaiva anandasya anyani bhutani matram upajivanti. All living entities in this world sustain their lives and survive upon ananda. This ananda is nothing but a fraction of the ananda of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So even the material pleasure that we get in this particular world is nothing but a tiny fraction of the pleasure which is present with one original personality. And who is that personality? Shri Krishna. And so all living entities live for ananda. There is no doubt about this. There is no living entity who doesn't live for ananda. There are more pramanas in the shastras. Raso vai saha rasam hi evayam labdhva anandi bhavati. Only by attaining rasa, some pleasure in this world, does a living entity sustain themselves. Otherwise, there is no point to living in this world. That's a fact. And for this reason, the Srimad Bhagavatam and other historical literature also describe various pastimes where bhoga or enjoyment was indulged in. And these pastimes teach us many things. And then there are also pastimes where tyaga is also emphasized. But today I am going to speak about which side? Bhoga. Please also be present when I am speaking about tyaga. It's important also to see how bitter the material world is. And I promise you one thing, I'll not do preaching to the choir, you know. The material world is, reject it and immediately give it up. No. Not those sorts of words you won't hear from me. Realizations of the previous acharyas. It's important for us to realize something. It's important for something to touch our heart. Otherwise, there is no point of leaving this world. We can't live by the realization of somebody else. We can't live our lives by somebody else's realizations. We only live our lives by our own realization. And so there is no point in living somebody else's life. We can only live our own life according to our realization. And that is what genuine progress means. Santah parikshyanya tarat bhajante mudho parapratyayena buddhi. Mahakavi Kalidas, he says, saintly people examine everything before accepting it. And the fools always run on the opinions of others. It's a very important fact of life. So if we are intelligent people, should we have theoretical knowledge or realized knowledge? Please tell me. Realize. And the Srimad Bhagavatam helps us realize it by giving various episodes of such bhoga or material enjoyment. You are in safe hands when you are with Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes many royal personalities, especially kshatriyas are best suited for bhoga, describing bhoga. And I'll begin with the description of one particular king, whose history is perhaps one of the best histories of bhoga that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is his name, dear devotees? Pururava, with the long U in between. Pururava is his name. And Pururava, the enjoyment that he got is perhaps unmatched in the material world for anybody to attain. And then there is also another incident which I will take from recent history, which has been described in poetic Sanskrit literature. The another personality, his name, dear devotees, please repeat, Bhartrihari. Bhartrihari was a very renowned king in ancient India, in Ujjain. and his wife was Anangasena. So I'll also take up the pastime of Bhartrihari. His name is a little difficult to pronounce, but he's a mega genius, Bhartrihari. And his pastime along with his wife, and Pururava's pastime along with his wife. Does anybody know who was the wife of Pururava? Oh my goodness. We can't imagine the good fortune of Pururava. We can't imagine the good fortune of Pururava. Pururava was born very special. Pururava's father was Budh. Not Buddha, Budh. Budh is the planet in the sky, Mercury. So Budh was the father of Pururava, and his mother was Ila. So he was born partially divine. I hope you are able to understand. He's not a complete human. He's partially divine. So Pururava was born from Budh and Ila. And Budh was the son of Chandra, none other than Moon, the dynasty in which somebody will appear in the future. And who is going to appear in the future in this dynasty? Bhagwan Shri Krishna. So this is the pastime of the dynasty of Bhagwan Shri Krishna himself. Because Pururava is the son of Buddha, and Buddha is the son of whom? Chandra. And the lady he married is Urvashi. And Urvashi was also not born in an ordinary way. In fact, she did not take birth. Urvashi manifested when Indra became a little afraid of the austerities of two sages, Nar and Narayana. And when Indra became a little afraid of the austerities of Nar and Narayana, Indra laid his trap in order to entice Nar and Narayana. Now in the entire universe, you can try to trap anybody, but don't try it with Narayan Rishi. In the Bhagavatam it says, Rishim Narayanam Rite. Everybody in the universe is subject to the influence of Maya, except for one Rishi. Who is that? Narayan. It doesn't even take the name of Nara. It takes the name of Narayan. Rishim Narayanam Rite. So Nar and Narayan, they were engaged in penances, and Indra tried to entice them, and Nar and Narayan, they opened their eyes, and Narayan Muni said, Indra, what are you doing here? And don't worry, I don't want your kingdom. Don't take any anxiety whatsoever. And by the way, since you are here, visiting me should not go without a reward, so I'll give you a gift. And what gift? By his mystic potency, Narayan manifested many wonderful ladies and asked Indra, select any one of them for your personal, you know, abode of Swarga. And Indra selected one of them, and who was that? Urvashi. And in the heavenly planets, these rules of morality of earthly planets don't apply. I want to tell something about heavenly planets, about Swarga. The rules of Varna and Ashram, the strict rules, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the rules of morality don't apply so much. Why? Because the Bhagavad Gita says, Karmanubandhini Manushya Loke. The bonds of new karma are applicable only in one species of life. Which species of life? Human. The other species of life, bonds of karma are not applicable. In fact, when Arjuna in Mahabharata ends up going to the heavenly planets, at that time, the same Urvashi meets Arjuna and tells him, I am attracted to you. And Arjuna says, sorry, mother. You have already associated with my ancestor. So I cannot associate with you. So Urvashi says, Anavrita Sriya Sarve. In heavenly planets, these considerations don't arise. Arjun, keep your rules of morality out of the heavenly planets. And so Arjun says, no, I am sorry, still, I will not agree to this. And she curses Arjun, because you are not man enough. Therefore, you should neither be a man nor a woman. Live like an impotent. And he had to live like an impotent for how many years? Because he disagreed with Urvashi. So the rules of earthly planets do not apply in Swarga. And Urvashi also later got cursed in Swarga, because obviously there is jealousy in all these affairs of love. So Urvashi also got cursed. And when she got cursed at that particular point of time, she also had to appear on earth. And she was cursed to marry somebody who stays on earth. It is a degradation for someone who stays in the heavenly planets. And she is not going to stay there forever. Their status is much higher than the status of earthly people. But still she has to come down. And therefore, one particular day, Narad Muni described the glories of Urvashi, the glories of Pururava, and Urvashi became attracted to the personality and character of Pururava. Please repeat after me. Tata Pururava Jagye Ilayamya Udahrita Tasya Rupa Guna Udarya Shila Dravina Vikraman Shrutvor Vashindra Bhavane Giyamanan Surarshina Tadantikam Upeyaya Devi Smarasharardita Tataha Pururava Jagye. So Pururava was born from Buddha and Ila. And when his beauty, his power, his magnanimity were described in the heavenly planets by one personality. Who was that personality? Nah. What does Narad Muni have to do with all of this? Why does he always get into the middle of? In the Mahabharata, there is something mentioned about Narad Muni. Prakarta kalahanam cha nityam cha kalaha priya. This is mentioned about Narad Muni. He loves to create quarrels. And the reason behind that is, he loves to create these difficult situations. The reason for him doing it is because he knows that in this dynasty, his worshipable Bhagwan is going to appear. And the dynasty has to appear. So, he is facilitating that by glorifying somebody in the heavenly planets, and he glorified Pururava. And when Pururava was glorified, Urvashi became deeply attracted to him, and Urvashi decided she will come and directly ask him to marry her. See, this is the heavenly planets. The lady will directly come and say to Pururava, I am attracted to you. Are you willing to marry me? And Pururava, obviously Pururava considers himself to be most fortunate. Wonderful. I will get a proposal that nobody else in the universe is going to get. And whom am I getting? Urvashi, as a wife. So, the first meeting of Pururava and Urvashi is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, Satam vilokya nripatir harshenotphulla lochana. When King Pururava saw Urvashi, his eyes became jubilant in the ecstasy of joy. Dear devotees, he is one of the great kings of history. And here he is, falling into bhog or tyag. Pururava knows that bhoga is also a very important aspect of human form of life. And that running away from bhoga definitely creates many troubles later in life. And therefore, Pururava, who is intelligent enough in the first three goals of life, dharma, artha and kama, doesn't neglect these goals. He knows that the Vedic literature provide a holistic way to fulfill these three goals of life. And therefore, Pururava said, with mild pleasing words, he spoke to her as follows. O most beautiful woman, you are welcome. Please sit here and tell me what I can do for you. You may enjoy with me as long as you desire. Let us pass our life happily in a romantic relationship. This, dear devotees, is Pururava's statement to Urvashi. He directly accepted the proposal of Urvashi. And so it was done. Dear devotees, it seems that Pururava accepted the proposal of Urvashi. But at the same time, it's a fact, dear devotees. Many times in the world, there are people who say that men are the stronger gender in the world and women are the weaker gender in the world. Bhartrihari, at one point of time, I said there is another king involved here. His name is Bhartrihari. He said, those people who say like that lack intelligence. Bhartrihari composed a verse. I'll sing it, please repeat after me. Nunam hite kavivara viparita vacho. Ye nitya mahura bala iti kamini sta. Yavir vilola taraka drishti patai. Shakradayo pi vijitastva bala kathamta. So Bhartrihari says, te kavivara viparita vacho. I pity those people who call women as weak. Abala. What is the meaning of abala? No strength. One of the names of women in the Sanskrit dictionary is abala. Those who have lesser strength. Bhartrihari says, those people who call women abala, I consider them less intelligent. Why? Yabhir vilolatara taraka drishti patai. By a single sidelong glance, if she can conquer Indra, abala kathamta, then how can she be known as abala? How can these ladies who with the playful sidelong glances of their eyes, who can conquer even the most powerful gods like Indra, be called abala? Tell me, dear devotees, should ladies be called abala or sabala? Without strength or with the greatest strength? Bhartrihari says, I refuse to call a lady abala. Although the Sanskrit dictionaries might call a lady abala, I refuse to call a lady abala. There is a reason behind it, because a man may conquer the world like Alexander, and he has to do so much to conquer the world. But for a lady to conquer Alexander, this is Bhartrihari's. How many of you agree with Bhartrihari that ladies are the stronger gender? Please raise your hands. Yeah, be intelligent. Time is a big teacher. Hmm? householders have experienced. So they raised their hands. Well, now that we have mentioned Bhartrihari, let's dive into his life as well. We are going into another two simultaneous episodes. One is Pururava and Urvashi. Another is Bhartrihari, one of the most famous kings in the history of India and perhaps one of the greatest genius Sanskrit poets to have existed in the history of this country. Bhartrihari is the one who composed this verse. And Bhartrihari's life is also described in the Sanskrit literature that there is a city named Ujjain. Many of us might have visited Ujjain. Yes, wonderful. Filled with wonderful entities that delight even the gods. And in many ways, Ujjain defeats even the abode of Indra, because in Ujjain one personality resides. Which personality resides? Bhagavan Shiva. And long ago in this city of Ujjain, there was a king and his name was Bhartrihari. And Bhartrihari had a particular nature from his childhood. He was a connoisseur of arts and a lover of Shastra. He was born that way due to impressions from previous life. This is who Bhartrihari was. He was not a dry-hearted person. In Shastra, in poetry, it is said, the best person for relishing poetry is somebody who has the heart of a poet. Even the Srimad Bhagavatam says one of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava is kavi, poet. And I'll ask you multiple questions, please answer in yes or no. Did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compose poetry?
Yes.
Did his disciple Srila Rupa Goswami compose poetry?
Yes.
Did Sri Jiva Goswami compose?
Yes.
Did Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti compose?
Yes.
Sri Baldev Vidyabhushan?
Yes.
Sri Jagannath Das Babaji?
Yes,
he composed poetry. Sri Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Yes. Kothai Go Prema Mai Radhe Radhe. Many songs he wrote. Did Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur compose poetry?
Yes.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada.
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
All of us. What happened? Parampara stops. So it's very important that in order to be a member of a proper audience, one should have the heart of a poet. Literature critiques, traditional literature severely critiques people who don't have the heart of a poet and who still sit in an audience. And it says, what is the difference between a painting on the wall and such an arasik, such a non-rasika? What is the difference between a person who is dry-hearted and a painting on the wall? No difference. Because the entire class is over and the painting on the wall stays as it is. There is no movement within the painting. And the entire class gets over and the non-rasika, non-connoisseur of arts also stays as it is. Arisikeshu kavitva nivedanam shirasi malika malika malika. Bhartrihari said, give me any curse that you want, O Brahma, but don't give me the curse of having an audience filled with dry-hearted people. My Sanskrit teacher in my childhood told me one thing. A single dry-hearted person can spoil the mood of the audience. Just as a single fly, if fallen dead in a pack of sweets, can give diarrhea to the entire marriage party. Isn't it? So a single dry-hearted person spoils the entire mood. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is also not meant for dry-hearted people. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for people who sing, who love poetry, arts, music. In the third verse of the Bhagavatam, the essential qualified person for the Bhagavatam is mentioned. Those of you who know, please sing with me. నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబత భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకా. So the eligible person for relishing Srimad Bhagavatam is a rasik. Rasik is a connoisseur of arts. Dear devotees, often in the Bhagavatam and many other literature of the previous acharyas, you will find Shri Krishna's face is exactly like the moon or exactly like the lotus. We should have a heart to appreciate things of the material world like moon and lotus. Examples from the material world will be given. And those who are dry-hearted, who have rejected the material world, will never be able to understand. This is the closest that you are going to get in understanding Shri Krishna in this limited body. So therefore, those who are non-rasikas have a very little chance of understanding or relishing the true message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhartrihari, of course, went in his childhood to Brahmachari Ashram because all the princes used to be trained in the Brahmachari Ashram. But Bhartrihari was a different sort of a Brahmachari. Bhartrihari, everybody was emphasizing to Bhartrihari that Bhartrihari, you spend too much time in writing poetry. Try doing some austerities. Bhartrihari, you should try to eat less, sleep on the floor. Don't spend your time learning all this poetry, because if this happens, sooner or later you will fall into the grihastha ashram. They did not know that Bhartrihari had already lost his heart when he was within the Brahmachari Ashram. Bhartrihari was already attracted to a particular lady in the Brahmachari Ashram. Bhartrihari secretly composed some verses. He wouldn't show anybody. He had a private collection of verses when he was in the Brahmachari Ashram. Like some Brahmacharis have, huh? But so Bhartrihari had his private collection of verses. So this is one of those verses, all right? We published his collection of verses. So please sing after me. All of you are rasikas. Rasikas love to sing. Sing after me. Smrita bhavati tapaya దృష్టాచోన్మాదకారిణి స్పృష్టా భవతి మోహాయ సానామ దయితా కథం. హి సెడ్, యు నో, వెనెవర్ వి మీట్ లేడీస్ ఆర్ వెన్ లేడీస్ మీట్ మెన్, దే కాల్ ఈచ్ అదర్ యాజ్ దయిత. దయిత మీన్స్ ఇన్ ఇంగ్లీష్ ఇట్ మీన్స్ ఓ డియర్. Like English we say, oh dear, how are you? So daita means dear one. So Bhartrihari says, smrita bhavati tapaya. When I remember that girl, my heart burns. Drishta chonmadakarini. And if I see her on a particular day, my entire day is lost. And sprishta, suddenly when my guru sends me, you know, to the marketplace to bring something, and that particular girl while walking once accidentally her hand brushed against mine. Mohaya, I lost many days in delusion. Sa nama daita katham, she is troubling me at every step. Why should I call her dear one? We should call her cruel one, not the dear one. So remembering her makes me burn, looking at her makes me swoon, and accidentally touching her puts me in big delusion. She troubles me in all my senses. Why do I call her Daita? What is meaning of Daita? Should such a person be called dear one or cruel one? Cruel one. So, it's very important to understand Bhartrihari was not like the other brahmacharis. I'll just put it in very plain words, he was already deviating. So many of his co-brahmacharis warned Bhartrihari, see Bhartrihari, your symptoms are not good. You better change yourself. Otherwise, and Bhartrihari, you don't know the heart of a woman. Like in the Brahmacharya Ashram, sometimes they say like that. Bhartrihari, you don't know the heart of a woman. You'll suffer later in life. So, Bhartrihari was like, that's all right. That's okay. Are all of you enjoying right now? He would say to the other brahmacharis. I hope all of you are enjoying right now. Huh? So Bhartrihari composed a verse for them, you know. Those who were repeatedly warning him, Bhartrihari composed a verse for them. This verse is in the meter Arya, a very difficult meter to compose and sing, but I'll still sing it. Please repeat after me. Swapara pratarakosau. Swapara pratarakosau. Nindati yolika pandito yuvati. Nindati yolika pandito yuvati. Yasmat tapasopi phalam. Yasmat tapasopi phalam. Swarga swarge pichap sarasa. Swarga swarge pichap sarasa. Swapara pratara kosau nindati yo alika pandito yuvati. That so-called, these so-called learned people who critique ladies, they cheat themselves and others. You see the deviation of Bhartrihari from Brahmacharya Ashram. These so-called brahmacharis who are critiquing ladies, they are cheating others and they are cheating themselves. Why? Because these brahmacharis tell me you stay forever in the ashram of the guru till the end of life and execute austerities. And tapasopi phalam. And what is the result of austerities? Swarga, heaven. And in swarga, what do you get? Apsara. Heavenly damsels. So the so-called learned person who criticizes women cheats himself as well as others. This is because even after great penances and sacrifices, the result is obtained in the form of swarga. And within that swarga, the greatest pleasure is the association of apsaras. So, why cheat yourselves? In fact, Bhartrihari entered into their domain and started questioning them. How long do you think you will endure like this? Some of them would say for an entire lifetime. We will endure like this. And Bhartrihari would say to them, it's all right, you are boasting today, we will last a lifetime. But time will prove otherwise. Many will not be able to survive. I'll mention a short story before I sing this verse. Once Srila Bhakti Siddhan Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, when he was in his college, he decided to start a group of boys, and all of them decided that we will remain brahmachari for our entire life. After a few years, only one person was remaining in the group. Can you imagine whom? The founder remained. And why is that? Bhartrihari explains. Tavan mahatvam panditiam, kulinatvam vivekita, yavajvaliti nangeshu, hatah pancheshu pavakah. Tavan mahatvam, all your considerations of I am senior brahmachari, I am senior to you. Tavat panditiam, all your learning. Kulinatvam, good family lineage. And all your discrimination will stand only till one point. Till now, Kamadev, Cupid has not decided to burn you. And the day he decides, that day will be the end of all of this. So Bhartrihari was collecting these verses. He was not speaking to anybody. He is collecting these verses. Now, do you think, dear devotees, Bhartrihari has a good future in the Brahmachari ashram? There is another ashram suited for such a person. Which ashram is that? Yes. A question arises, why is it that in every Brahmachari ashram there is at least one person like Bhartrihari? You might have seen. Why do some people not listen to good instruction? Why do some of them purposely want to walk on another path? Wouldn't it be easier to keep quiet and just follow all the instructions, live your life and, you know, easily attain liberation? But attaining liberation is never such an easy thing. Why? Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan will himself say that you cannot attain liberation simply by keeping quiet in a corner. You will have to face the world sooner or later. And you will have to face yourself, your own desire sooner or later. And there is no running away from this at any point of time. And this is what Bhagavan says in the Gita. Please repeat after me. Sadrisham cheshtate svasya prakriter jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. This last line is so nice, it should be printed on a t-shirt and distributed in our movement. Nigraha kim karishyati. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature. For everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. And what does the last line say, dear devotees? What will repression accomplish? So in the Gita, Bhagavan is saying intelligent people follow their nature. Try to understand. Jnanavan, intelligent people follow their nature. And those who are not intelligent end up doing the impossible thing on the last line. And what is the impossible thing mentioned on the last line? Nigraha. Repression. Kim karishyati. What can repression accomplish? And dear devotees, when Bhagavan says this, it is very important because very intelligent people, and I am giving the example of a most intelligent person, Dhruva Maharaj. And you can see Dhruva Maharaj, he saw Bhagavan face to face after executing austerities for a few months. And after seeing Bhagavan face to face, it is mentioned in the fourth canto, when his own brother Uttam was slaughtered by the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj behaved according to his nature. And Dhruva Maharaj ended up slaughtering scores of Yakshas. So many Yakshas, it became difficult to keep account. Finally, Sri Brahma and Manu Maharaj had to come and stop Dhruva Maharaj. Stop from the slaughter. You have seen Bhagavan face to face. What are you doing? Can you imagine, dear devotees, somebody who has seen Bhagwan face to face indulging in mass slaughter of other living entities? But somebody did it. Who was that? Dhruva. Why? That verse gives the answer. And therefore, it's a very important part of not only material life, but it's also a very important part of healthy spiritual life to properly understand the first three goals of life. And what are the first three goals of life? Please repeat after me. Dharma, Artha, Kama. It's very important to understand and harmonize these three goals of life. Because, and Srila Prabhupada said this thing, Prabhupada always said that I have established ISKCON, but I also had a big desire to establish Varnashram. I had a big desire that Varnashram should be established. And please tell me, isn't Varnashram Vedic? Yes. And when we have Vedic culture, shouldn't we have the four Vedas? Can we have Vedic culture without four Vedas? No. And can we have the four Vedas without Dharma, Artha and Kama? So in order to have Varnashram, can we have Varnashram without the first three goals of life? Can we have Varnashram by running away from Bhoga? Sorry, it is not possible. And therefore, when people would say to Bhartrihari, Bhartrihari, when you study all these literatures, when you write poetry, when you study grammar so much, you are paving your way for falling down. Bhartrihari, better to remain a simple person with less knowledge. And Bhartrihari would reply, the person with less knowledge is the one who falls first. In the Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter, Bhagavan says, 40th verse, Agyascha ashraddha dhanascha samshayatma vinashyati. The first person to fall in spiritual life is the ignorant one. Not the one who acquired Shastric knowledge. People think that by remaining less knowledgeable, they will remain safe. It is as foolish as thinking that I will remain inside a home and remain protected from diseases. The more intelligent thing to do is to develop immunity. I hope you are able to understand. What is the more intelligent thing to do? To stay within the home and be free from diseases, or to face diseases and develop a stronger body? To face diseases and get a stronger body. And therefore in the Mahabharata, there is a big discussion on this subject matter. Yudhishthir Maharaj, he approaches all his brothers and asks all of them, what is the most superior goal of life? Dharma, Artha or Kama? Between these three he asks everybody. First he goes to the elder one, not his brothers, to Vidur he goes. And to Vidur he asks, what is the highest goal of life? Dharma, Artha or Kama? And you can easily imagine, Sri Vidur would have selected which goal of life? Dharma. So Vidur says, the highest goal of life is Dharma. I believe in Dharma. Because Dharma in this life ends up as Artha and Kama in the next life. Isn't it? Whatever good facilities we have today, somebody has good beauty, somebody has good money, somebody has good facilities, it is a result of some Dharma committed in previous lives. Dharma in previous lives leads to Artha and Kama in this life. Vidura says very clearly, I believe in one goal of life. And which goal is that? Dharma. Then Yudhishthir goes to Arjun and asks, what do you think is the highest goal of life? And Arjun says, Artha. His name is Dhananjaya. Dhanam, wealth, Jaya, he wins. His name is Dhananjaya. So obviously he favors one goal of life. And what is that? Artha. He said, there's no meaning to life without Artha. Absolutely no meaning to life without Artha. See all the big events and see all the big facilities that you have in life. All of them are possible only because of one goal of life. And what is that? Artha. It's the practical reality of life. Without Artha, you cannot have any facility. And then he goes to Nakul and Sahadev. And Nakul and Sahadev say, we want two goals, we like two goals to be together, Dharma and Artha. Because through Artha you can perform Dharma. Through wealth you can perform big activities of Dharma. And through Dharma, again in your next life, you get Artha. So we favor both of them together. But there is one person Yudhishthir has not yet approached. And who is that? Bhim. And then Yudhishthir goes to Bhimsen and says, you tell me, because after me you are second in number. Bhim was younger to Yudhishthir but elder to all other Pandavas. You tell me what is the highest goal of life. These are Bhimsen's exact words as mentioned in the Mahabharata. Na kamah kama yatyartham na kamo dharma michyati na kamah kama yanusti tasmat kamo vishishyate. He says, I tell you, kam is the greatest. I'll tell you straight away, which is the greatest goal of life?
Kam.
Why? Na akamah kamayati artham. Without desires, you will not even be able to earn money. Why do people earn money? Because they have something in their mind. And what do they have in their mind?
Kam.
Na kamo dharma michyati. Nor does such a person wish for dharma. Even the desire for dharma is a desire. Therefore, it is kam. Na kamah kamayanosti. Person without desire has no aspirations. Tasmat kamo vishishyate. Therefore, kam is the greatest. And then Bhimsen explains many things. He says, people go to forests, engage in austerities, live on leaves and fruits because of kam. Because they have a desire that tomorrow I will become happy. Today I am not happy. When will I become happy? Tomorrow I will become happy. Because of this desire, they go to the forest and they survive only on leaves, etc. Many merchants take arduous journeys across the oceans because of one goal of life. Which goal is that, dear devotees? Kam. They want to earn something. And even in modern day, dear devotees, in modern day, if you see all the scientists, they make their scientific inventions, and all the bankers, they deal with Artha, finance, and at the end of the day they come home and sit in front of television to fulfill one goal of life. And what is that? Kam. It is a very simple, honest reality of life. Even when all of you go back to your rooms and when you have to take a bath, you'll first turn on the geyser. Which goal of life is that, dear devotees? Bolo, bolo. Is the most fundamental principle driving the world. And Bhimsen says, those people who run away from accepting this fact, I consider such a person to be the lowest in the world. By the way, Sri Bhimsen appeared in Kali Yuga as Sri Madhvacharya. He who is Madhvacharya in Kali Yuga is whom in Dwapar Yuga? Bhimsen. So it is the same Madhvacharya of Kali Yuga was Bhimsen in Dwapar Yuga, who said, everything that a person does in this world is because of this one goal of life, and that is kam. And finally, Bhimsen says, please repeat after me. Dharmartha kama samameva sevya. Yastveka sevi sanaro jaghanyah. Dharma, artha, kama, samameva, sevya. The pursuits of religiosity, dharma, wealth, artha, and material pleasure, kama, should be engaged in equally. Anybody who slaughters one goal on the basis of other goals, Bhima critiques him by saying, "Yo yastveka sevita sa naro jaganya." The person who pursues only one of these is very lowly. Very lowly person. My Sanskrit teacher used to tell me, "Prathame narjita vidya, dvitiye narjitam dhanam, tritiye narjitam kamam, chaturthe kim karishyati." Prathame narjita vidya. In the first 25 years of life, you did not acquire proper Vedic knowledge. Dvitiye narjitam dhanam, tritiye narjitam kamam. Second and third quarters of life, you did not get wealth and material enjoyment. Chaturthe kim karishyati. What will you do in the final quarter of life? So, at a very proper time, Vedic literature tells us, don't slaughter one goal of life on the basis of another goal of life. And that's a very important message for anybody who even wishes to understand what Varnashram is. For anybody who even wishes to know what Varnashram is, should first know why not to slaughter one goal of life on the strength of other goals of life. There is no fulfillment of any Varnashram vision without understanding dharma, artha and kama. And without holistically accepting these three goals of life. Yastveka sevi sanaro jaganya. A person who fulfills only one, that person is considered to be the lowest by Bhimsen. Therefore, fulfill all three. Finally, many commentators on this section quote the Manusmriti, and the Manusmriti is considered as one of the most important literature for Varnashram. Believe it or not, is considered as one of the most important literature for Varnashram. Those who advocate Varnashram, they always speak of the glories of this particular Smriti, Manusmriti. But when you look in the Manusmriti, it says very clearly, please repeat after me, akamasya kriya kache drishyate neha karhi che yadyadhi kurute kinche tattat kamasya cheshtitam. Akamasya kriya kache drishyate neha karhi che. Without kama, no person in this world engages in any activity. Please tell me, dear devotees, every day we go to the prasadam hall to eat. But before going there, something should occur. And what is that? Hunger. If all of you are fully satisfied till the neck, will you go to the prasadam hall? It's the very basis of human existence. It's the very basis of each and every activity. Often kaam is mistranslated as lust, isn't it? Many times we have seen the translation of kaam as lust. Every time we should not translate kaam as lust. Lust is a very specific translation of kaam. Kaam basically refers to interaction of any sense with its respective sense object. That is what kaam is. And therefore, it's very important to understand dharma, artha and kama if anybody wishes to understand what is the broader holistic vision of Varnashram that Bhagwan has given. Without this, there is no Vedic society. There is absolutely no Vedic society without accepting dharma, artha and kama. And any dream of accepting, making a Vedic society based only on moksha is going to be labeled by Bhimsen himself as the lowest of all societies. In the Mahabharata itself, it will be specified as the lowest of all societies. Therefore, a society which wants a perfect Vedic vision should definitely consider these three goals of life: dharma, artha and kama. Because these three are very important for the first part of the title of my presentation. And what is the title of my presentation?
Bhoga.
It's not beyond bhoga. I hope you're able to. We don't want to drown in bhoga. Our aim is not to drown in bhoga. The presentation is not meant for drowning in bhoga. The presentation is meant for coming out of bhoga. But it is necessary to face holistically our enemy. And our best equipment, our best weapon in our hand is the Vedas, Vedic culture. Please do not try to tackle bhoga on the strength of your own intelligence. Because tomorrow I will specify what happens to people who try to suppress kaam. There is a very nice section in the Mahabharata where kaam himself is laughing on such people. And I will bring out that section tomorrow as to what happens to people who suppress their kaam. Can kaam really be suppressed? And then we will also see what Sri Rupa Goswami says, because it's important to bring out our own Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas in this. What does Sri Rupa Goswami support? What sort of a lifestyle does Sri Rupa Goswami recommend? So this presentation is not going to be about Varnashram, dear devotees, but I am entering through the gateway of Varnashram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Varnashram in comparison to Shuddha Bhakti. But nonetheless, Varnashram has great utility, but the great utility is in the first three goals of life. And what are the first three goals, dear devotees? Dharma, Artha, Kama. And then, after Dharma, Artha and Kama are properly taken care of at a proper time, then a person can definitely and holistically, without any side effects, aim for the final goal of life. And what is that? Moksha. So, I'll pause my presentation here. I'm sure there are many questions. But I'll pause my presentation here. Please note, this is just the first part. Bhartrihari is also going to get married, and somebody else is also going to get married. Whom? Pururava. And it's going to be a typical Indian wedding. But we will learn how their respective timelines progress, and then we will see at an appropriate time the other aspect of the presentation, which is Tyag. It's a very important principle of holistic Vedic life. Tyag, when accepted with a proper mindset, results in that mature renunciation which cannot be bought by n number of artificial techniques. And therefore, it's very important that instead of putting our own intelligence as superior, let us believe in the intelligence of Shastra and the previous Acharyas, the devotees, because that is what has worked for thousands and millions of years. So I'll pause my presentation here. Thank you very much. Yadatra skalitam kinchit vidvam sahapura yantutat, yadatra saushtavam kinchit tadguru revame nahi. Yadatra skalitam kinchit. It is possible that I might have made some mistake in translating a verse or speaking something. Vidvamsaha. If I have made a mistake, you are all learned devotees. Purayantu tat. Please correct those mistakes. Yadatra saushtavam kinchit. But if there is anything nice in the presentation, please remember. Tad guru reva. It belongs to my gurujanas. Me nahi. It doesn't belong to me. Thank you very much once again, dear devotees. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. So, do we have time for questions, Maharaj?
Yes.
So, I would request that the questions be primarily based on the topic for today. And of course, Tyag will come up. So, please wait for the Tyag sections to ask questions on Tyag. All right? Yes. Yes, we have Purnamasi Mataji. It's still 6:30, Maharaj?
Yes.
Okay.
Still 6:30, if possible.
Sure.
Thank you for the beautiful last very on the point. I would like to ask you, said that Narada Muni makes four oracles with Krishna. They appear in the dynasty anymore, speaking about Guru Rama Urvashi. Can you explain to shortly how it came then? That this was, how was this his help that Krishna would appear?
Because the sooner they get married, the sooner there will be progeny. Isn't it? And then every time, even when Kamsa comes, he wants to speeden up the appearance of Shri Krishna. So he incites Kamsa to kill the first seven children of Devaki. Why? There's only one reason why. Because very soon he wants to see the appearance of Bhagavan. So that is, he wants to see Bhagavan as soon as possible appear within the universe. Because it is his personal interest to see Bhagavan face to face again. And that Bhagavan, Shri Krishna, performing pastimes in Gokul, not in Goloka. And there's a big difference between Gokul and Goloka, as I said yesterday. And what is more special, dear devotees, Gokul or Goloka? Gokul. Yattu Goloka Nama Syat Tad Vai Gokulasya Tad Gokulasya Vai Bhavam. That Goloka is just a vibhuti, is just a it is just a manifestation, a partial manifestation of Gokula on this planet. So what we have here is more special. So I hope that answers your query, Mataji.
Yes.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, there is one Prabhu behind. Yes, please give him the mic.
Thank you very much for your amazing presentation, Prabhu. You gave a nice explanation as to why Dhruva Maharaj slaughtered the Yakshas.
Yeah.
So I'd always wondered that, and I'd also always wondered why it was that Kadarma Muni married after seeing the Supreme Lord.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that, sometimes we get the answer that he wanted to bring the Supreme Lord into the world.
Right.
Is it really that? But after hearing your presentation, I'm wondering, does it also relate to what you're talking about in terms of fulfilling those three goals of life?
Yes. Because people think that material desires disappear when they become purified by their own effort. But that's a big mistake, because people don't get purified by their own effort. People get purified when Bhagwan decides that they are ready for purification. That is actually the mature conclusion or siddhanta. Purification of the heart is not a product of self-effort. If it was a material product of self-effort, the acharyas would have given a quantity of sadhana to do in order to purify the heart. But because it is not a material effort, therefore the acharyas have not given any fixed quantity of sadhana. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Bahu janma kare yadi shravan kirtan, tabu tana paye Krishna pade premadhan. That somebody may perform shravan and kirtan for many lifetimes, still will not be able to cleanse their heart. And there's another example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of a Yavan, a Muslim, who chanted haram, how many times? Once. And still attained perfection. So the reason for purification of heart, the main reason for purification of heart is when Bhagwan decides it is time. I will give you another example of somebody who saw Bhagwan face to face, yet whose heart still had desires. And that example is Maharaj Chitraketu, who saw Bhagwan face to face, yet after seeing Bhagwan face to face, he ended up in the heavenly planets. And Sri Jiva Goswami describes how he had Gandharva ladies, in both hands he was holding both two Gandharva ladies and singing the glories of Hari in the heavenly planet. Now you may call it Sahajiya. But this is what was happening in, you know, with Maharaj Chitraketu. He was singing the glories of Bhagwan and there were Gandharva ladies around him. So in an airplane of Gandharvas, he was singing the glories of Bhagwan. But he had seen Bhagwan face to face. So Bhagwan understands the desires of the living entity. Nobody can escape Bhagwan. And tomorrow I'll also try to bring a verse from Sri Vallabhacharya, who speaks about sannyas. He wrote a wonderful text, Sannyas Nirnaya, and he speaks about sannyas and renunciation. Then there should be only one purpose of taking sannyas or renunciation, he says. And that is related to Sri Krishna Bhakti. That is the only purpose of renunciation in this world. Any other purpose, he quotes very nicely, brings out a very nice verse. So I hope that answers your query. That Bhagwan knows, sometimes Bhagwan knows us better than we know ourselves. So Bhagwan lets us leave out certain desires. So Dhruva Maharaj got a big kingdom, and Maharaj Chitraketu went to Swarga, and he was enjoying in Swarga. He was happy in Swarga. But then Bhagwan felt that I should speeden it up. So Bhagwan arranged for him to get cursed by none other than whom? Devi Parvati. And then he ended up as Vritrasura. And that was his final life. So Srimad Bhagavatam tells us all these pastimes to honestly understand how the desires of living entities work. And then there was somebody like Saubari who was trying on his own strength. Saubari wouldn't even look at a woman. Saubari wouldn't look at human civilization. Saubari was underwater. Saubari didn't like humans. But later Saubari developed immense attachment to not one, not two, but how many ladies at once? 50. Oh wow, wonderful. So some pendulum swings from bhog to tyag, and some pendulum swings from tyag to bhog. All those examples are there, and nobody is going to escape. Bhagwan is Nyayadhish. He is the most just administrator in the universe. And Bhagwan will look within everybody's heart and bring out their desire sooner or later. So that is what we can see from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I hope that answers your query satisfactorily.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. And Maharaj, let's give the mic to Maharaj. I'm sorry, Vijay. Can we have the projector on? Can somebody turn on the projector?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much. And I congratulate you for your for being brave and digging this subject out. We, of course, can see that many those who have tried the path of renunciation have the Subhari Muni experience in our movement also. At this moment I will not ask a question on the subject matters which you have said, because I know that you are preparing a complete picture and you start with this, but I have a question. It is a general question. Hari Parshad, we know you as an intelligent person, and you have a good Sanskrit education of a vast number of texts. You are a member of the Shastri Committee. You're well respected. May I ask what thought process you went through to choose this subject? There must be a reason why you boldly approach this subject matter. There's a vast thing. Please, everyone, it's a good question. You know, when you have a speaker who's intelligent and who chooses a subject,
there will be a lot of thinking before he decides this is the subject, this is not necessary. I mean this in a genuine and sincere way. I think you understand.
So the reason why I selected this is because Maharaj, you also know I usually love to speak about Srila Rupa Goswami. To get my hands into Varnashram is something it is my last preference. But it is also a fact of life that as a society of devotees, and I have seen in my own personal life, sometimes we live two lives. And that is an honest fact, at least I can say about myself. That it's one thing to dress up in fancy Indian clothes on a weekend and go to the temple. And it's another thing to come back to one's home and close the door and then be with one's own mind. And a person is truly themselves when they are with their own mind. And unless one takes a very honest approach, and the most honest approach is the approach taken by Shastra. And that is what, since childhood, my teachers told me, be honest, because pretense will not get you anywhere. So be honest with what you are. And often lofty subjects are spoken. And those subjects are also needed because our aim is very lofty. So to say that Sri Rupa Goswami is present, topics are very lofty is a truth. But we wish to reach there. But at the same time, it's also a fact that when devotees go back to their respective individual lives, that's a completely different scenario altogether. And one man's medicine is another man's poison. And therefore, when general instructions are given about renunciation or tyag, and people try to take them home, and then, as Sri Krishna says in the Gita, that yah aste manasa smaran mithyacharah sa uchyate. Such a person becomes known as mithyachar. Mithyachar means, what is the English translation? Pretender. Pretender. So at least, let's not pretend is the mood behind giving the presentation. Let's not pretend. We are who we are. So let's not pretend as to who we are. Because pretense is what creates a very difficult situation for every human being. And a person cannot be themselves when in the association of devotees, because there is almost negligible acceptance of artha and kaam as goals of life within the devotee society. And any indulgence in this is either seen as sinful or against the whatever principles of morality that have been established. And I will bring out on third day or second day Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, perhaps the strongest brahmachari to have existed in our line. And what does he say about kaam? What does he say about overcoming lust? Because there is no better authority than him on understanding these subject matters. It's only by a mature understanding of these goals of life that we can ever have a chance of having a Vedic society. Not otherwise. Because if we say that Prabhupada created a home in which everybody can live under it, so everybody means everybody with dharma, artha and kama. Because you can't exclude those individuals from the society. So that is the motivation. But transcendence will be shown. Like my Gurujan has told me, don't use poetry to bring people down to the level of the mundane. Use poetry to take mundane subject matters into the divine. This poetry may seem mundane. It's Bhartrihari, it's a mundane poet. But it has deep capacity to take things to the divine. And therefore, it's very important to know these poets. And it's very important to study them. Because it is thousands of years of combined experience which we sometimes unfortunately neglect. And we think that all the expertise is already present with us. But then when disaster happens, then we have nobody to, no answers remaining with us. So when thousands of years of wisdom is already available, we can already use that and brick by brick form a Vedic society. So this is why. So I hope that answers your query. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You mentioned, thank you very much for a very inspiring and giving a different dimension to devotional practices.
Yeah.
Actually, you mentioned about that we have a line we should have printed on the t-shirt of ISKCON movement. That is very impactful because you mentioned that artificial repression won't work. So, what is the solution actually? Because sometimes what happens is we are at a stage that sometimes we have to forcefully, artificially repress because we are not allowed because we have rules and regulations. Because the mind is not at that exalted state. And second question, if you may allow a permit, may I ask? Or after this one?
One by one, that's an independent question, right?
It is related to this lecture only.
No, but independent of this question. Yeah. Yes, alright. So, the first question is, that usually we are asked to repress our senses and our mind. And what happens when we are alone? Isn't it? It's a fact of life that although we are told that we repress your body and your mind, when nobody is looking, we are by ourselves and the mind is obviously going to take over. And there's a reason for that. We are conditioned by previous samskars. We are conditioned by, somebody is born in a certain family with certain samskars. We have an international society where people come from all parts of the world with so many different baggages. And we are all painting them in a single color. So how will that work? At least I don't know how that is going to work. So, but therefore, it's very important to understand what helps a person transcend. Or at least what helps a person not fall lower. The first thing is what helps a person to not fall lower. And Vedic culture takes care of that. That at least we will not fall lower. And what will help us transcend, that is a mystery which I will only reveal in the upcoming talks.
Thank you. Eagerly
wait
for the
session. Yeah, I request all the devotees, if you are not able to be present here physically, at least listen to the recordings. Because just don't go away with the first part. Oh. Yes.
Yeah. So you mentioned that Yudhishthira Maharaj asked about the best goal of life, like dharma, artha, kama, vidur, and the other Pandavas, they gave the conclusion to Yudhishthira Maharaj. But what according to the, in devotional practices, which is the best goal that we should consider post this session?
Which is the best goal?
Best goal for us, like Yudhishthira Maharaj is a pure devotee.
So, alright. I understand this. When questions like these are asked, what you are doing is you are asking me to give one standard for the entire society. And that is not how Vedic culture works. I'll ask a very simple question, everybody answer in yes or no. Material nature, Prakriti, does she create two trees exactly the same? Does she create two branches on the same tree exactly the same? Does she create two leaves on the same branch exactly the same? Then how will she create two humans exactly the same? And we are trying to fit everybody in that single mold. Some people will fit, they will become good leaders, isn't it? What about the poor ones who don't fit? They'll become the fallen ones, the deviated ones, the ones who couldn't make it ahead in devotional service, isn't it? And in my childhood, there was a book, in my textbook. In that textbook, on the front page, there was Gandhi's Talisman. CBSE board, Gandhi's Talisman. Talisman means short mantra, Gandhi's Talisman. So Gandhi says in that, he said one very important thing, which I liked. He said, whatever solution I give to the world, that solution should be possible for the lowest person in the country, for the most downtrodden person in the country. Otherwise, it is not truly a solution. Isn't it? So, it's a very important thing that when we are giving solutions to the society, we are often targeting the highest people of highest caliber. And what about the people of lower calibers who cannot easily rise up to that standard? A very simple example I'll give you. One time in a lecture I heard a particular devotee say, if you don't chant your 16 rounds sitting in one place, it is completely ineffective. Although there is the same devotee in the morning has said, Nam Nam Akari Bahudani Jasarva Shaktis Tatrar Pitani Amitah Smarane Nakalaha. That there are no hard and fast rules to chanting the holy names. The same devotee later has said that unless you chant 16 rounds sitting in the same place, it will be completely ineffective. So my question to that devotee, I privately asked, because criticism always private, glorification public. So I asked privately, what about a pregnant lady? Isn't it? Our solutions are aimed only for people who are from the highest rungs of society. Does your solution work for a lady who is pregnant? No, because he has not experienced the pain of giving birth to a child, isn't it? So, those solutions will not work. Unfortunately, those solutions, no matter how high and lofty they might sound, they are artificial and will not work. Therefore, solutions are given by acharyas. Manaha samharanam shaucham maunam mantrartha chintanam avyagratvam anirvedo japa sampatti heto. Acharyas are very holistic in their thought process. The acharyas are not rough individuals with a scraped heart who wish to impose a certain regiment on everybody. That is not the Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas, at least that I have known or I have seen. So that is why I cannot give a single standard for everybody. It's a very important thing that every disciple has the right to get a personalized standard from their guru. And the guru should know the disciple properly, Shiksha or Diksha Guru. And the guru should give a custom-made, tailor-made standard for every disciple. And therefore, in our movement, then we will be able to have people who are like Swarup Damodar Goswami and people who are like Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Isn't it? Should we take or should we pause here, Maharaj? Or one last?
I mean, if you feel an urge to go a little over time, maybe the last question.
Last question.
And then.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always excited with questions, so one last one. Yeah. So one last query. All right. We'll give to Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Guru, thank you for your wonderful class. Yeah. My question is related to the quotation you brought up about what's the use of repression, saying that even someone in knowledge, their nature doesn't change. So you brought up, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, he saw Bhagavan face to face and still, through the Kshatriya nature, killed all these Yakshas.
Yeah.
But then we see sometimes, in most of the time, pure devotional service, the process of purification does transform someone's nature entirely. Yeah. Like, for an extreme example,
right.
Jagannatha,
right.
Going from total ruffians to then being so humble.
Right.
So, what determines in the purification process if someone's nature changes, and is that related to the current needs of the fulfillment of the goals of Dharma and Dharma Kama?
Yeah. So current fulfillment of dharma, artha and kama along with an impetus from bhakti are both needed. If somebody says, I sacrifice dharma, artha and kama and I just put myself completely on the platform of devotional service, Narad Muni says it is possible. But Narad Muni says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that patet yadi, if he falls. So Narad Muni expresses a possibility that he will fall. Maybe we can turn on the projector for some time. Yeah. Narad Muni expresses a possibility that such a person may fall. So, but no devotee, even if he falls, he will be, there is no loss for him, Narad Muni says. But why to fall? The main thing is why even go in that direction of falling when there is such nice Vedic culture to protect you from all negativities and at the same time allow us to execute our desires for dharma, artha and kama. How many of us would like to rely only on bhakti and fall? Please raise your hands. Nobody. How many of us would like to take help of Vedic culture along with bhakti and transcend everything? Please raise your hands. Oh, wonderful. We already have a society. And I'll quote finally the statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because this is the final praman I am showing, because it is I'll sing this verse from Adilila 15.26. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying something. Grihni vena griha dharma nahaya shobhana eta chinti vivakarite aila mana. Without a wife, Lord Chaitanya considered there is no meaning to householder life. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the way. Thus the Lord decided to. So these quotes are often not given. So I'll bring out all those quotes which are often not quoted, because na griham griham ityahur grihini griham uchyate tayahi sahita sarvan purushartan samashnute. Merely a house is not a home, for it is a wife who gives a home its meaning. If one lives at home with his wife together, they can fulfill all the interests of human life. And all the interests, he says, purushartha, the four goals of life. And what are the four goals of life, dear devotees? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Here is Bhagwan himself saying that it is only with a wife that I myself will be able to fulfill four goals of life. So it's very important. Bhagwan himself took shelter of Grihastha Ashram, although he is eternally liberated. And Bhagwan does something to set an example. Later he will tell Raghunath Das Goswami also, you will be the most renounced person, more than any brahmachari or sannyasi has ever been. The brahmacharis and sannyasis of the future will look up to you. But right now, enjoy. Do you want to see that quote? One last quote, dear devotees. Markat vairagya na karo loka dekhaiya yatha yogya vishay bhunja anasakta haiya. You should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciant. Very important next statement. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way. But do not become attached to it. A guru is giving instruction to his disciple. Please repeat after me. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way. It means enjoy like a gentleman. Don't get degraded in the material world. Enjoy within the borders of Vedic culture. This is the instruction from the guru to the disciple. So every guru is supposed to analyze this disciple and give. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada said, we need an unconventional guru for every disciple. Because every guru can tell conventions. But only the unconventional guru tells what is the path out of the material world. So here is where I will end. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.